Yeah, it's been a little bit rockier. I think you're sort of feeling things out in terms of that forward play, like getting Malik some more minutes, seeing what gives if you put him and Dougie on at the same time as that kind of strike pairing. There's been a little bit of that issue in back. You talked about getting Connor Donovan back, just trying to sort out who's playing where. I think the team has a little bit of a luxury where they're not safe in the playoffs, but they've got some points built up right now that they can afford to experiment a little bit.
On today's episode of The Breakaway, presented by Los Rios Community Colleges, John Morris of USL Taxis joins us to talk about all things Sacramento Republic, the last few matches, and you heard it in the teaser, why he thinks Sacramento has a little bit of luxury to be able to experiment with where they are at in the table with games in hand with the lot of the season remaining. So that's all coming up on today's episode of The Breakaway. Soccer fan, student, and graduate, the Los Rios Colleges want you to be all three. American River College, Consumers River College, Folsom Lake College, and Sacramento City College are now enrolling for the fall 2022 semester. With flexible class schedules, free tuition for most students, and support services, you can graduate and get a career in no time. Los Rios Colleges understands you may have a job and family obligations that can make attending a college challenging. That's why they offer flexible scheduling options to meet your needs, including full-term and short-term classes, evening and weekend options, and classes that are fully and partially online. To learn more, visit losrios.edu/apply. Grow your business with Citizens Business Bank. Since 1974, Citizens Business Bank has created banking relationships by focusing on their customers and helping them achieve more for their businesses, their employees, and the communities they serve. Choose a team that can help you achieve your goals by visiting cbbank.com to learn more. Citizens Biz Bank, member FDIC. Visit our friends at VJB Cellars in the heart of the Sonoma Valley and feel as though you've stepped into an Italian piazza. Taste award-winning Italian varietals, enjoy authentic wood-fired pizzas, and finish your visit with a scoop of gelato. A perfect way to spend your day, and only a quick 90-minute drive from Sacramento to a slice of Italy in the Sonoma wine country. Visit vjbcellars.com or give us a call to plan your visit today. All right, back on the podcast. Super excited. He's probably one of my favorite people to come on. John Morrissey, USL Tactics, always does a great job. John, we had Kaylor Hodges on last week, and he won't be coming back because now that's it's bad juju for when we play Birmingham. I'm just kidding. But yeah, your buddy on the USL show, he was great. But good to see you, man. How are you?
Yeah, doing really well. Kaylor's obviously an awesome guest, so hoping to match that.
Well, listen, he basically jinxed us because he was like, I'm leaning Sacramento. And then they come in and score 2.5, 3 minutes in. He tweeted right before the game, because I was saying, I've been like, when we were talking, I was telling him, if Connor Donovan's in the lineup, that's a really good thing for Sacramento, just because we've had guys playing, like Duke Uclaw's been playing center back, which is not his normal position, which is, you know, not been great for Sacramento. And then they score 3 minutes in or whatever it was. So, but John, let's talk Sacramento. Let's talk USL. I know you've been watching a lot of games. What has been your overwhelming feeling from Sacramento these last three matches?
Yeah, it's been a little bit rockier. I think you're sort of feeling things out in terms of that forward play, like getting Malik some more minutes, seeing what gives if you put him and Dougie on at the same time as that kind of strike pairing. There's been a little bit of that issue in back. You talked about getting Connor Donovan back, just trying to sort out who's playing where. I think the team has a little bit of a luxury where they're not safe in the playoffs, but they've got some points built up right now that they can afford to experiment a little bit.
That's an interesting point, and I want to stick on that because I feel that way too. Like, despite the fact that we're in seventh right now in the Western Conference, we have games in hand over, I think, every team actually above us, and even the teams below us, right below us as well, have a few games in hand on them as well. I think other than like New Mexico. So it's an interesting spot to be in, and I'm very curious, and we can get into this on talk about Saturday's match. Like, this is a kind of similar situation before the Los Dos match, before the LA Galaxy match, a little bit different situation where, you know, this theoretically is an important match for Sacramento in league play going into Phoenix, a team that's been struggling, but it might be an opportunity again to experiment lineup wise and rest guys for Wednesday. So I'm curious as to, do you feel like this little experimenting they've done these last few matches, do you feel like the answers that have come out of it have been overwhelming, or has it left more question marks?
I think that there's been some clarity as to when you want to be using two forwards and the value that gives you versus just having Douglas Martinez up top. I think there's been some insight into, like you saw Duke Lacroix playing at that center back spot in this last game. That's something where he's done it before, but the passing range he gave as a substitute was really valuable at back. Yeah. You wouldn't have seen that if you're in the depth of the playoff race, really needing to have that sure thing lineup no matter what. So I think just in examples like that, you've seen a little bit of experimentation with Damian Viader, the left back spot. I don't know if there's been anything that's like, wow, groundbreaking, but just having these weapons in the arsenal going down the stretch is really useful.
Well, one thing too to mention, and that I didn't even think about until you brought up Duke, is Sacramento basically has three center backs. So Duke has been getting minutes, you the thought of in big matches, if a guy goes down, what do we do with that third center back spot? What happens? Do they switch formations? That obviously changes things, especially the way they've been playing with that new formation with three in the back, and giving Duke minutes at center back. Maybe it does bode well for in the playoffs when he can come in and off the bench into that position. And he's, you know, versatile in the back and play that left wing back spot, or he can play the left center back spot. I hadn't thought about that, but, you know, it's something that it is a little more comforting than thinking, okay, if one of our center backs who've been fantastic this year go down, we're in trouble. And now, you know, maybe that kind of weathers that storm a little bit.
Right. I mean, it's totally what you said. There are only three true center backs on this roster. So just having the comfort of Duke can cover the spot and he can give you something unique and different while he's doing so is invaluable.
And he's gotten pretty valuable minutes at that spot. And so we'll see. We'll see if he continues to maybe come off the bench in those spots. I know they didn't want Connor Donovan going a full 90 this last match coming off an injury, excuse me. Okay. Well, let's talk about what you mentioned with the two forward lineup, and Sacramento went away from it this last weekend, but this two matches ago was when Dougie and Foster were up top together. What did you see with that formation and how that changed things tactically for Sacramento?
So I think it's become pretty clear in the past couple weeks, month or so, that Douglas Martinez just doesn't have the goals in him right now. And maybe that changes, but Malik Foster can very much be that classic sort of number nine striker who can get in there, be physical in the box, where Douglas is excellent when he's able to roam, get into the wide areas, work with teammates. So the beauty of pairing those two together in a two forward context is that Douglas can still move around, but you're maintaining that presence of having an option in the box. So say Douglas is able to get wide, get into the channel, he's got an option to pass to in a really dangerous area, which it can happen if he's the only striker, but you're relying on those late runs from Keke or Rodrigo Lopez that don't always come because they're innately midfield players. So just adding that little bit of extra spark up top, I think, has been really fruitful for Sacramento.
That's interesting, because I felt like in this Birmingham Legion match that Sacramento had the ball out wide multiple times and an opportunity where they could cross, but there was nobody in the box, so they were way outnumbered. And I wonder if, you know, that's especially with a guy like Malik, who's not necessarily an aerial target. I mean, obviously you did, but not as much as Douglas or even Luther Arshamed. Right. But what about the two dynamics as far as Foster being able, you know, to fly by guys? We saw them play over the top a lot more against Birmingham, or at least try to. I thought they handled it relatively well. But is there something that can be said for playing two strikers that kind of are innately different in the way that in their buildup and their makeup on, you know, when they get into that final third?
Yeah. I mean, just having those different kinds of players, if they're on the same, on the pitch at the same time, that's challenging as a defender who has done some scouting on, say, Malik likes to go to his left foot in this specific instance. Well, if you've got someone with a different profile coming at you, it adds that extra second of intellectual lag where you could put a foot wrong, not knowing quite what you're trying to do. And then the same thing applies if you're swapping one for another in the middle of a match in that single striker formation where you as a defender have to completely reorient your style. So even if neither of them really get going as that reliable, gonna score 20 goals over the course of the season kind of guy, having two decent options who are playing well enough to provide a threat adds a lot from just having one guy.
Interesting. What have you seen as far as the creation in the midfield these past few matches? Because it felt like this Birmingham match, it didn't feel like we were getting in as dangerous of positions that we've seen in the last few matches. Now, that might have just been an eye test thing, but I had that overwhelming feeling coming from the match. And to be honest, I don't feel like Sacramento didn't play well against Birmingham. They just, you know, were unable to score goals. But, you know, you're such a big look at a lot of statistics. Is there anything that you've noticed? Is Sacramento's creation dipping? Is it just the difference in formation? Is Birmingham's back line just really solid? Their goalkeeper had a fantastic match. Maybe that's a part of it too, obviously. But what did you see maybe there that can kind of give us a little bit of insight?
If you think about each of these last two games, the Oakland game and Birmingham, they're both teams where if you're thinking about their central defenders, they're not afraid to jump into the midfield and cut off any entry passes you get into there. So if you're able to find that window into Rodrigo Lopez's feet, say in a really dangerous area, he's going to have a center back breathing down his neck within seconds because that's the level of aggression these teams bring. Birmingham makes it worse because the way that they press and defend in that 4-4-2 shape really compresses in the central areas such that you can't even find those windows into someone like a Rodrigo Lopez. So it becomes this issue of you have to draw them out somewhere. You're going over the top, but that's a little bit of a lower percentage pass. And it ends up in this cycle where you can't get any rhythm. You can't get momentum when you're trying to attack. I think there were moments in these games, though, where the team really was successful when they were able to, especially break out on the counter.
Yeah,
that was better. But you just have to manufacture more of those chances. And it's hard when Birmingham goes up 1-0 a minute in and can sort of just sit back for 90 minutes.
Right. All right. Let's say you're picking the lineups for Saturday against Phoenix, and you know you have the big Wednesday Open Cup match coming up. And you're flirting with the playoff bubble right now. Phoenix has been struggling, but as we saw this week, Phoenix came out and said that Rick Schantz is their guy. Coaching wise, what's your mindset going into Saturday's match lineup wise?
I think that you don't necessarily want a full on B team here, but I'd think about resting Rodrigo Lopez. If you can get one of the center backs a breather, that's probably a smart idea. Going for a pacier forward lineup here, maybe throw in Luther on, would be fruitful. Phoenix, if they struggle with anything, it's tracking quick players getting in behind. So I think he could be really strong in that context. Phoenix is also a bit of a mess this season in general. So right. If you can get a good goalkeeping game on our end, boy, it feels like you can weather the storm because they're just so mistake prone at this point. So I do think you rotate the squad. If it's 60 minutes in, you've got the chance to throw on a regular starter to really make a difference. Don't hesitate, but the focus should be on the Open.
Yeah, that's kind of my thought process too. And you kind of hit it in the twofold way, which is why you're the best, is, you know, how does Sacramento try to exploit that with the guys they have in their rotation? Zico Lewis wasn't in the 18 on Saturday. Maybe we'll see him get some run. Maybe it's off the bench, but it does feel interesting. And I think Rodrigo Lopez is the guy to keep the eye on because, you know, he's had a lot of minutes this year, and, you know, you got to worry about that a little bit because we're only in July and you're in the mix of a Open Cup run, which is further than the club's ever been. Right. So you want to continue to push that, but you also need to make a playoff push and try to jump up the table. So it's an interesting position to be in. And it's funny, it's very similar to heading into that LA Galaxy 2 match, which at that time they were kind of where Phoenix was, maybe not as in poor form. And they were able to pull off the win, but, you know, it was an important spot in the table. And then obviously they they did both things well. So we'll see if that continues for Saturday. Is there anything in particular that Phoenix is really struggling with? I mean, I know it's multiple faceted, right? And that's why they're near the bottom of the table when they've historically been at the top. But is there something that sticks out to you as being the one thing that, hey, if they clean this up, they could be, you know, they could come back and make a playoff push and try to get to that seventh spot?
Yeah, so they're still one of the strongest offenses in the league. If you look at the shot numbers, the expected goals, their defense is atrocious. And if I had to point to one spot, it's the left back area where they can't seem to find a single player with a shred of discipline who consistently tracks back, and it forces their center backs to move over and defend in that space that's being left behind. That throws everything else out of whack. Combine that with a surprising amount of turnovers in the midfield. This is a Phoenix team that holds less than 50% of possession, which is extremely rare for that club. You've got a team that doesn't have the ball and is making so many mistakes, and it just combines to constantly have them under fire.
Interesting. Let's talk Western Conference a little bit. I'm curious how you feel. I mean, Sacramento, that Colorado Springs match, we try to just basically put it out of our mind because it didn't really feel like this team. It was almost like it was a game off type thing going in, playing that high altitude. But they obviously had 12 guys ready to go for last night's game against San Diego, which was crazy. It's got to be one of those things. Like if you did a story on the USL and like all the weirdness that's happened over the years, like that's got to be a little footnote. But anyway, regardless, how are you feeling about where teams line up in the Western Conference? And I know you put out your playoff percentages. Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. Yeah. How are you feeling about, and which teams do you think will be in that playoff push and maybe even be in the top three or four?
Yeah. So even though Sacramento is in seventh right now, my odds actually have them above 80% of getting in. The interesting ones to watch, and I think that Sacramento is solid. I mean, San Antonio, Colorado Springs, probably San Diego and New Mexico are safe as well. LA too, just doesn't feel like a solid playoff team to me. They have these moments where their attack is pretty incredible to watch, just so fluid, really quick passing. But there are a lot of other moments where the youth really shows with that side and they just collapse defensively. And El Paso has this very weird tendency to just kind of give up four goals in a game. They've had a lot of injuries. They lost Diego Luna when they sold him a couple weeks back. They feel like a team that if they lose any more players, they really could start suffering for it. And I know they went on like a 7-8 game unbeaten run, but they're just not that solid in terms of the standings. That said, I don't know who outside the mix really is going to grab the race by the scruff of the neck. Like You can't depend on Las Vegas when their best players end up at LAFC randomly. Oakland is so up and down. Phoenix hasn't been good. So it's sort of this interesting question at the bubble right now.
It really is. And that's what I'm fascinated about. It does feel like, I guess second place in the table isn't that far away, but it feels further. It does feel like it's a little bit of a race to get to that 3 and 4 spot for the teams there. But like you said, and I don't mean to be biased here, but unfortunately I am. It does feel like there is a top five in Sacramento included in that. I know they're sitting seventh right now. And then a little bit of a drop off. Do you agree on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think you could maybe lump El Paso into the top part if you assume that they were healthy, but they aren't.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, if you look at El Paso, LA Galaxy, pretty close on points. El Paso is 33, Sacramento 29. And they've played four more games than the Republic. So it'll be interesting to see. And that's why, you know, when fans look at when fans like kind of panic after this little not great form that Sacramento has been in these last three matches, if you point to the table and say, well, we're in seventh, why are we doing so poorly? But then if you take a look at the grand scheme of things, all right, we got four games to make up 4 points. Like we're in a good spot. So I am interested to see, but if you had to put money on the last two teams making the playoffs in that 6 and 7 spot, who would you think you'd go with?
I'm going to stick with El Paso. I just have this sneaking suspicion that Vegas is going to get in somehow.
I like that. I like sneaky suspicion. Sometimes that's as good as it gets. All right. Well, I mean, John, this was great. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. You have a plane to catch. So we appreciate you jumping on. This is always a blast, and travel safe.
Thank you so much. Love being here.
This Saturday's match against Phoenix Rising on Fox40.com or the Fox 40 app, as well as ESPN Plus. Thank you for joining us. Our thanks to John Morrissey for jumping on and chatting with us. Always a good time having him, so we appreciate him for being flexible with us before he jumped on a flight. Please rate, review, subscribe, or follow this podcast wherever you get it. We appreciate the feedback, as always. And it's a big week coming up. We got big match Saturday, and then, of course, the Open Cup match coming up next Wednesday. Reminder, if you haven't seen, we advise you, get there early. It is a state fair match, and so we ask you to get there earlier than normal with 6 p.m. gates. And we want to get Heart Health Park rocking before Sporting KC can get comfortable at all. We will see you next Wednesday, and as always, Go Republic!